This is Expectations, written by Diaphenia and read by Tipsy Kitty. "Let me see if I understand this," Brienne said, leaning in, her sword clenched tightly in her fist. "You are now married to the man you went on adventures with." Isabella carefully pushed down Brienne's sword arm. "We live in happy bliss, and my parents are excited to babysit when we need to go out of town to stop an army or pirates, which happens no more than once a season." Brienne looked across the bar at her traveling companion, deep in conversation with Gallivant, who was looking quite manly in his new doublet. Her companion was good-looking, golden as a sun. "And nothing awful happened as a result?" "Oh, no," Izzy said, looking up at her impossibly tall new friend, ticking off on her fingers. "We almost died in a dungeon, my parents almost were beheaded, he had to raise the dead, and I had to lead an army into a doomed battle against the Queen's well-trained and armed forces." "That is an impressive array of..." "Keep in mind the Queen had deadly magics at her disposal, as well as the help of her boy toy, the former King's henchman, and he's built like a brick house. I punched him once, and I still twinge every time it's going to rain."
"That must be..."
"And I had to break it off with my cousin, which I was thrilled about. But my aunt is a real piece of work about the whole thing. She says I was lucky to be engaged to a toddler given that I'd already hit menses. But I'm severely not cool with child marriage, even though I acknowledge the double standard for boys." Brienne nodded and relaxed. Izzy took the break in tension as an excuse to steer them both to a table, where she nodded to a bar wench. Izzy took a long sip of her utterly average beer. "So what about you and... Jamie? Is that his name?" "Well," Brienne said, leaning thoughtfully, "I would say the dead have mostly remained dead. More often than one might anticipate, truly. That's always encouraging, but that's not quite what I meant. I was asking if you two were... engaged in amorous pursuits." "I have taken vows, m'lady, as a member of the Queen's Guard, and those vows are quite serious on the subject of chastity. Izzy has met the Queen of the North at the annual Ladies Who Lunge brunch, a benefit to support the sword-fighting arts for women and girls. She was a delicate thing with beautiful red hair, not armed personally, but surrounded by a bevy of Queen's Guard ladies. One was rumored to be the Queen's sister, although that remained unconfirmed." "Are you sure? Because I think that's just the standard language put in a guard book. No one really means it. My own parents attended a wedding when one of their guards married the stable girl he'd knocked up."
"Did they?"
"Well, they sent flowers, I'm sure. But they didn't punish him. Being a member of the Queen's Guard is my most proud achievement. The accumulation of my life's work. I served her mother faithfully, and when she was brutally cut down, I spent ages searching for her remaining children. I could never break my vows to the Queen, just to serve my own happiness."
"Aha! I knew this was about honor and not an actual lack of attraction. How wonderful!"
She blushed a deep pink, which was so charming that Izzy knew she had to help. She owed it to the many people who had assisted her own love life, from the jester to Cid and the singing monk, too. Besides, she liked Brienne, not just because Izzy was sorely lacking in female friends, but also because since when was it wrong to want female friends anyway? "We can do your hair up all nice. Maybe put some cosmetics on your face. Listen, Gal's ex is a real piece of work, but she has great hair. We could call her up, get some advice. Granted, some of it will be incredibly hurtful, and will cause you to doubt your abilities, especially as they relate to the bedchamber. But that's what therapy is for." Brienne looked ready to bolt. Izzy put out a hand, trying to pin her down. "Listen, Madeline is a bad idea. Honestly, all we need is to get you into a nice corset. How do you feel about removing that tin can you're wearing?" Brienne put a hand to her chest, perhaps concerned Izzy would tear the armor off herself. This was a gift. A gift? Izzy realized Brienne's eyes were straying back to Jamie. From him? More blushing. "That's beautiful and expensive armor. Really practical, too." She had to get the name of the tailor on that one, given that Izzy was looking for a more practical breastplate. Her own lifted and separated, but according to Gouging Monthly, that was far more dangerous to the wearer. "No corsets, no cosmetics. Let's go brush your hair at the very least." 20 minutes later, Brienne's hair was smooth and shiny. She glanced at herself shyly in the mirror. "Do you believe I look better?" I believe you'll get his attention, Izzy said, looking her new friend over. Sure, she was still too tall, but she was lovely inside, where it mattered. She pulled her out of the privy room, fairly dragging her over to the table where the men sat. And this is my wife, Princess Isabella Maria Lucia Elisabetta of Valencia, and also of my heart. Gal drew her to a side. And who is your friend?
I can answer that,
Jamie said, drawing himself up to a magnificent height and giving them both a slight bow.
This woman right here is one of the reasons I am still alive. Not that she should have saved my worthless life. She could have saved any number of other people, all of them worthy individuals.
This woman is Brienne of Tarth, and she's head of the Queen's Guard.
The one you work for?
Gallivant asked, taking in the situation.
She runs the entire Queen's Guard. I am, as ever, under her command. It was kind of her to give me a position, given my deformities.
He pulled his hand out of his cloak. Or rather, he pulled his stump.
We need a moment, Izzy said, pulling Brienne to the side. You said you were under the rule of chastity.
That is true, Brienne said. It's the rule of the Queen's Guard.
Yes, well, you neglected to mention you ran the Queen's Guard.
They returned to the table, Brienne refusing to make eye contact the entire time.
Listen, Izzy said, hand on her sword just in case. I know this is frankly none of my business, but have you considered how eligible Brienne is? Neither of you is getting any younger, and I think it would be adorable.
Jamie leaned in. I have been asking for her hand since I was released from my last Queen's Guard position, due to the untimely death of the Queen and my former lover.
Gal looked pained. Just to clarify, not that it matters, but per our prior conversation, those were separate people, correct?
Izzy ignored him.
You also neglected to tell me he'd proposed, she hissed at Brienne.
He's joking, Brienne said. Izzy locked eyes with Jamie.
Would you say you're offering because of her amazing new hairstyle?
Not that I want to brag, but for a princess, I have additional.
Absolutely not, Jamie said, reaching a fond hand to mess up Brienne's hair until it looked like it had hours ago, sticking out at odd angles.
Is it because you want to see her in a new outfit, and have that moment where you realize she's quite good-looking without her armor?
I have no doubt she looks wonderful without her armor, Jamie said, grinning wolfishly. Is that an option?
We could get cosmetics, Izzy said.
All I want is for her to agree to the marriage, and she can wear or not wear whatever she likes.
Izzy, who herself had quite a romantic courtship and subsequent marriage, declared this was the most romantic thing she'd ever heard. Gal looked posed to object.
I'll marry you if I can best you in a sword fight, Brienne offered.
No question you will, Jamie said. Not because I am a hand behind, but because you are the best of your generation with that sword.
It's settled, Izzy declared.
We don't even need to pull out our swords. She looked over at Jamie and Brienne, who were a moment away from dueling indoors.
It's you, Gal?
Sorry, Gal said, sheathing his sword.
Force of habit.
We will definitely fight, Jamie said, suddenly close to Brienne. But first, let's seal it with a kiss.
Izzy clapped.
The end.